somebody remember, what was the name of the street where the temple we had that that was, what is his name? You know, way back in the 80s, early 80s.
Manchester?
Yeah. You used to come there.
Yeah, can't remember the street though.
Okay. This is a verse. No. 34. This is a verse that I remember learning once. Motorhome traveling to Debrecen, city in Hungary. That long time ago, and it's from the sixth chapter of the second canto, which is a very important chapter. It's called Purusha Sukta Confirmed. And well, I'll just read it. Namarati me ngamri shokalakshate navai kvachin me manasom rishagati name rishikani patanta sattpate yan me ridot kantya vatari drito hari. It's a real tongue twister. This is Lord Brahma speaking to Narada Muni. He says, O Narad, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, with great zeal. Whatever I say has never proved to be false, nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. Let's just repeat that together. O Narad, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, with great zeal, whatever I say has never proved to be false,
nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred,
nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. Now we go. Last paragraph of a sort of lengthy purport. Anyone, therefore, who is earnestly serious in heart and soul about being in intimate touch with the Personality of Godhead in relationship of transcendental loving service will always be infallible in words and action. The reason is that the Supreme Lord is absolute truth, and anything earnestly dovetailed with the absolute truth attains the same transcendental quality. On the other hand, any amount of mental speculation on the strength of material science and knowledge without any bona fide touch with the absolute truth is sure to be a mundane untruth and failure, simply due to not being touched with the absolute truth. Such godless, unfaithful words and actions, however materially enriched, are never to be trusted. That is the purport of this important verse. A grain of devotion is more valuable than tons of faithlessness. That's good. Concluding shloka by Srila Prabhupada, a grain of devotion is more valuable than tons of faithlessness. He says, he uses this word, Ridda, Ridot Kantyavata Drito Hari. Ridda means heart, and Utkanta, other words, utkantyavata, but utkanta means with great earnestness, with enthusiasm, drita, hari. So catching hold of the lotus feet of Krishna with real earnestness and enthusiasm. And the example that here Prabhupada is giving is you touch electricity, you become electrocuted. So you go out in the cold, you get cold. You go in the hot, you get hot. Whatever we contact, we take on the quality of that thing. We associate with matter. We identify with matter. We associate with Krishna. Then we identify as being Krishna's servant. So how does that association with Krishna work? So how it works is described here, and then the result of that is that within one's heart, with great eagerness, one has to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord. And that becomes a good meditation for the day on Sankirtan. Lots of lotus feet. There's Gopal stealing butter, so you can meditate on those lotus feet. And here's Radha and Krishna, at least you can see Krishna's lotus feet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet too. So then there's Panchatattva, five sets of lotus feet. So if we even just fix those lotus feet in your mind, you'll find that it becomes a hypnotic influence on the people. As long as you keep it in your mind, as soon as you let it go, they're gone. You've lost them. But if you fix Krishna with real eagerness, you have to be eager, because it won't just stay there out of some kind of desperation. With real eagerness, and then they're very interested. That's why it says here. It says, whatever I say has never proven to be false. In other words, whatever you say will happen. That's the words of a Brahmin. So when Jai and Vijay Kumaras were in the spiritual world and they cursed Jai and Vijay, then even though they were the doorkeepers, then the Lord said, whatever Brahmins say have to come true. Even Kunti Devi. Even Kunti Devi, when Pandavas bought, Arjun bought, it wasn't the Pandavas who bought it, Arjun bought Draupadi back, and Kunti Devi had her back turned to them, and she was doing something, and they said, look what we brought, and so whatever it is, you share it with your brothers. Because she said it, it had to come to pass. So of course that's a whole different concept than what we're used to in the material world, that nothing you say has to have any value. Circumstances, dream up of any type of circumstance why I can't do what I say, and that's good enough. So that's called Kali Yuga. It's called cheating religion. When it's applied to Chaya Dharma, when it's applied to when it's applied to Krishna consciousness. So, but when we keep Krishna's lotus feet within our minds, then whatever you say, take this book, then it says here, it never proves to be false, it has to be true, it has to come true. And whatever you want them to give, it has to come true, but it has to really be there. Nor the progress of my mind ever deterred, because if our minds are fixed on Krishna's lotus feet, then you don't become spaced out, you don't become discouraged, you don't become distracted. And what to speak of worse, one doesn't become degraded into sense gratification or even aspiring after sense gratification. So very important, because mind, senses, words, and these are actually the vow or the commitment. Etang sam astaya paramatmishtam vidyashitam purvatne maharishvi. This is the song of the Avanti Brahman, which sannyasis all sing. So, sannyas means that one's senses, one's mind, one's words, tridandi, those three things, they're all dedicated to Krishna's service, and then the fourth danda is one's actual soul, one's actual existence. So this is the real shelter. This is where shelter really comes, by really enthusiastically grabbing hold of lotus feet of Krishna. And of course, Angani Asya Shakalendriya Vrittimanti, whether you think of Krishna's feet or Krishna's face or his hands or his flute or anything, it's all the same. It all has the same potency. It all has the same effect. So that we can see, or how do I know I'm doing it? Because you never speak an untruth. Mind will never become distracted and will never fall down into any type of mundane activity. Generally, this phenomena takes place on the platform of bhava. Well, not generally, that's when it takes place, when it's continuous. In other words, on the spiritual platform, on the transcendental platform. It takes place on other stages of Krishna consciousness, but it can come and it can go. But making sure that it comes and it stays, that can be warranted by effort. When one becomes transcendentally situated, then it's a self-sustaining phenomenon. It doesn't require effort. The result of the activity itself is so attractive, so enthusing, that you don't have to think of doing anything else. Practicing Krishna consciousness means we have to make ourselves do things because we don't have the natural taste for it. But in any case here, Lord Brahma is making this very, very wonderful statement. And then he follows it by saying, although I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the cyclic succession of wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities and am expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. Therefore, it is best for me to surrender unto his feet, which alone can deliver one from the miseries of repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of its own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord himself is unable to estimate his own limits? Very, very beautiful. Since neither Lord Shiva nor you nor I could ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, how can other demigods know it? And because all of us are bewildered by the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord, we can only see this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. Which is Prabhupada told devotees. Prabhupada is just now actually just listening still, 1977, Prabhupada's got everyone drawing pictures of cosmology, and because that's what you're trying to manifest in the Vedic planetarium. But here, Lord Brahma says everyone's going to see the universe differently according to their own level of consciousness. And Prabhupada sent devotees, he said, go to Sridhar Swami and ask him for his opinion. One of the things that he said that everyone's going to see the universe differently because it depends upon your consciousness, what it looks like. And what Shukadeva Goswami sees, well, that's his consciousness, which may be different than our own. So in any case, today we really hold the lotus feet of Krishna within our hearts. Then whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you think, it will come to pass. Let's see how good we are at it.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīla Panchatattva ki jai. Yeah, Śrīla just wrote me that the manor is up to 85,000 books as of yesterday. So our books are contributing to reaching that 100,000 target, a very noble target indeed. And a lot of them are big books, Maha big books. Hare Krishna.